Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
All right, she's in studio, in the flesh, in Thabiseng Dubasana, 7 minutes after a nine. And we come into our legal matters now, where you can call in 086-00-00959. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. It's free. Legal advice for free. It doesn't happen often. Okay, so take advantage of this moment and ask any question. But she has one or two things that she wants to reflect on. In Thabiseng, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Osphimelo. Nice to be back.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. Okay, how are you today?
Questioning my life choices. We are tired.
I don't think any lawyer who's a working lawyer is ever not tired.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think it's in our DNA. It's worked in there somehow.
It's worked in there.
Yeah.
So thank you. We appreciate you coming here today. All right. So you want to speak about procedural fairness in the legal disciplinary hearings.
Right. So We've talked a lot about how attorneys can be unscrupulous.
Yes.
How in trust accounts and whatnot, they're dipping their fingers in there, eating people's money and all of that. And we've talked about how clients have recourse to the LPC to report such behavior.
Yes.
And also, if an attorney is not actually doing what they're supposed to do, reporting back to you what's happened and all of that. So we talked about all the negative things that my profession or my colleagues will do to you.
Yes.
But we haven't actually seen, at least I haven't seen, a case that is so detailed that is in favor of an attorney that was accused of said actions, right?
Ah.
So the LPC got a report from about maybe five clients of this attorney saying, one, I paid him, but he never got back to me. I never knew what was happening with my case. Imong saying, no, he did not. I paid deposit, but I never got statements. I don't know what's happening with my money. Another one saying that, no, he stole from me and all of those things. So what the LPC typically does is that when they receive a complaint from Pamela, from Mudibedi, whoever, and say that Thabiseng is not doing her job, they will then compile whatever evidence was given to them by the complainant and send it to Thabiseng to say, this is a complaint about you. Here's your right to reply. Then you reply to whatever allegations. And then thereafter, the next thing what they do is say, okay, we're going to give the complainant this information. Let them reply to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then thereafter, if it's serious enough, then the investigating committee comes and they do what they deem as an investigation. And then they give a report back to the LPC to say, we believe based on this information, Thabiseng must either be suspended or struck from the role. Suspension means you won't be able to practice for a certain amount of time and then you can go back, or being struck means you're never going to practice ever again. So in this situation, the application was for Thabiseng, or the attorney in this matter, to be struck from the role completely because of all these allegations. So what happened is that he failed to respond to the first letter that was sent to him. There was a reminder and all of those things for him to respond, which he didn't. Eventually, the LPC just put the matter on the roll for him to be struck from the practicing court roll. And then eventually he responds and he attaches medical reports to show just how bad of a medical situation he was suffering.
Oh, wow.
And then him and the LPC agree to condone each other's late filing of stuff.
I see.
So giving him an opportunity to respond and all of that. So in his papers, what he was arguing was that you have all these allegations and you are saying that there was an investigation that was conducted, but really there isn't. All you did was rely on these people's word. You never came to us. Mm-mm. You never came. Yes, you afforded me an opportunity to reply, which I did. But still, in your investigation, you haven't requested.
What investigation?
Yes. Yeah. What did you do? Did you go into my financial records to prove all of this? Because I have proof that I didn't do all of this. Did you go into my emails, request forensic reports, all of these things? What exactly did you do? And they couldn't really show.
That's incredible.
What they did. And the court said, as an institution full of attorneys, and people who know admin, you should do better. When you're going to go with an allegation, make sure when you put a matter before us to strike a matter of an attorney from the role, it is with good cause, because we are taking from this person their livelihood, their manner into which to make money. It cannot be something that we just take on the surface. So it was quite interesting and quite redeeming that not all of us are not that bad, even if a lot of us, and I can also confirm, Lynn, that somebody has reported me to the LPC saying I'm not doing my work, and we've supplied proof that work has been done and then it's kind of died. But what we are saying is that just because you are not getting what you want doesn't mean there's grounds for complaints. And this is what the court actually saw.
It brings me to that issue that lawyers always say, that sometimes we can advise the client as much as we can.
Yes.
But if the client gives a different instruction, we just have to go with what the client wants.
Yes. And with that, now remember, I think it's about 2-3 weeks ago, you and I, we spoke on that case where the court gave punitive cost orders to the attorney that proceeded with the matter, even though they knew.
Yes. That this is not the right way.
Yes.
I mean, you know this. You're just stringing this person along.
Exactly. So now with that kind of case that is now there, out there, we now have grounds to say, but I've advised you accordingly. I don't have to proceed with this. Go find another attorney who can proceed. Alternatively, if you insist that you want to proceed Wena as the attorney, then let the person
and
sign.
I've advised you that
yes.
this is not going to get you very far.
Yes. Let your client sign to confirm that I am going against
my attorney's advice.
Yes, yes. So either or.
So that you don't leave here and badmouth the attorney.
Correct.
And say, you know, they haven't handled my case well.
Yes.
Okay. Tabi Singh, we've got a question from Anonymous. Good evening, ladies. It says, is it fair to be working as a permanent contractor for over 12 years with no benefits whatsoever? No annual leave, no salary increase, no sick leave. Your salary is based on what you put in is what you get out. Just to put it out there that this is one of the biggest corporate companies in South Africa. Thanks in advance for your response. There's nothing in the contract that states that we will not be eligible for an increase, annual leave or sick leave.
Okay. So when it comes to annual leave and sick leave, this is the basic conditions of employment. There is no way your employer should be denying you these things. It is woven in so intricately in the Basic Condition of Employment Act and in the LRA. So you need to take them on to say
let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
It's a permanent contract.
Yes.
That's the first thing this person is asking.
Yes.
To say, number one, should they be sitting with a permanent contract for 12 years?
That could be an option.
Okay.
It's something you can discuss. You can something that the employer can sit down with you. It's not illegal. The problem for me is where now you're saying that you don't have
no annual leave, no sick leave, no increase.
For me, the leave parts are the issue, because other benefits, they're not a must.
Yes, you don't have to get an increase.
No, you don't have to get an increase. You don't have to get any other even provident funds. The employer doesn't have to provide that for you, you know.
But you are supposed to get sick leave and annual leave.
That is a must. So that I don't understand what is happening. So you need to either report them for, or escalate it internally if they have anything of the sort, the company, wherein you ask unfair labor practice. Why don't I have sick leave? Why don't I have annual leave? Even people who work on a 1-year contract, in accordance with the basic conditions of employment, at minimum, they must get 15 days annual leave, at minimum. So why are you 12 years later, you don't have anything? That does not make any sense.
Yeah, but you know, Tabi Singh's advice is legal advice. I just want to put it out there. That Anonymous, she's giving you legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
I think your mother would say something different. Don't cause trouble. You're going to lose this little contract you have, because the chances are that you're going to go to the CCMA.
Yes.
So let's give you the reality of the situation. You can go to the CCMA, let the CCMA intervene, and they will. This big corporation that you speak of can maybe settle and say, that's fine, we will adjust it, and then just then find a way to dismiss you.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Actually, it's one of the cases that we'll be talking about today. Something similar to that happened. It's very unfortunate that that thing is held over every employee's head to say, when I try it, try and go and complain. You will see.
It's like industries and sectors where there isn't enough organized labor.
Yeah.
And the minute you have a little groupinyan that's trying to set up something, try it.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it. I want to see something. Just try it. As Ritrinyana Nalentabi say, just let's see.
We'll watch you.
Because they know what that means.
Yes.
You are starting trouble.
Mm.
You are going to be asking for trouble. It's easier to get rid of me and Ntabi Seng than to deal with
the whole company.
Absolutely. So they will quickly deal with the two of you so that we don't have any more problems going forward.
And that time it's your basic right. It has nothing to do with I am starting trouble.
And you know what the truth of the matter is? There's so many other people who are waiting for that job.
Yes.
So many other people who need that job. And they will take anything.
But yeah, no, you have a right to go and complain, Shem. So go and lodge a complaint.
We keep taking your calls on 086-000-0959. All your legal matters, and Ntabi Seng is here. Please call in sooner rather than later, because a lot of you phone just before we leave and then we don't have enough time to deal with the matter, okay? You can also send a voice note, especially if you want to remain anonymous. 086-000-0959. That's where you can call. Voice notes on 063-688-0959, or you can send a text through also on that WhatsApp number.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
All right, we continue with Ntabi Seng Dubazana for all your legal questions. You can send in those questions on 063-688-0959, or you can call on 086-000-0959. Mangaliso is in Pretoria. Hello, Mangaliso.
Hi, how are you?
We good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much for the time. So I have a bit of a debacle with the maintenance issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a child who is... Let's say she's turning 15.
Mm-hmm.
She's turning 15, and when she turned about 3 years, got a maintenance order to say that the dad needs to pay for the maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I think the maintenance was probably 3,000 or so, and he's never really been consistent with it, so he would pay it as and when it suits him.
Mm.
Fine, time went on, and I never really nagged too much about it, you know? And then as time went on, also, the father... quite a very wealthy person and a bit of a bully. So I've been having, like, whenever they said the court would try to serve him with papers, try to get hold of him, he'd always send them from pillar to post, and he would not show up and make their chair. About 4 years ago, I then went to maintenance court to get them to increase the maintenance amount, because obviously the child has now grown in school and etc. That was granted, and he paid for about 6 months or so. And the remaining years...
Mangali, so it increased to how much?
It increased to 7,000.
Okay.
So which means between a period of about 8-9 years, it was from 3.2, then went to about 7,000.
Okay.
So he paid for about 6 months, jumping some of the months. And he hasn't paid since. I've went back to the court to try to ask, like, to get help. We've tried to serve him. He's got different properties. So it's hard to get hold of him.
When was the last time you went to the court?
It was last year, I'd say September, whereby at that time, they had frozen his account.
Mm-hmm.
But he still did not, they did not hold him accountable to pay any amount, because he just said that, I think we're probably sitting on a debt of about 400,000 now, if not over 350,000. I think I stopped counting.
Yeah.
And they never held him accountable. Yes, they filled his account, but when he came in, he was like, yeah, he's got other kids, which he does support, but Nanta is not getting supported. Fine. But there was no kind of, I feel like the court is not supportive, and I'm just financially overwhelmed having to obviously raise a child on my own. Bills are just, the debts are just piling up, you know? And I don't know at this stage whether, I know I've heard that I could take it to the High Court, but it's like, I don't have the financial capacity to do that. And there's no support. I feel like the maintenance, it's not, they're not helpful. And I feel like with somebody, depending if the person's a powerful person, the guy shall away from upsetting him or from stepping on the toes of that person. So meaning as a normal citizen, you're then struggling. So it's like the poor keeps on getting poorer. But then when a person is powerful and making money, then, you know, he's tiptoed around. He's not held accountable.
Did the court by any chance make some sort of, or rather, did they advise you, because it doesn't sound like you have legal representation, did they advise you that if he fails to pay maintenance, it's actually a criminal offense?
Well, been through that whole process. That's what they had said. They've tried to serve him. They couldn't get hold of him. And when he showed up, he was just really unbothered, you know. I mean, with him having a debt of over 300,000, at that time, he was saying that he will pay, I think he had said that he'll pay 17,000 a month until he finishes the debt.
Wait, he showed up in which court? Did he show up in maintenance court or in criminal court?
Not criminal court.
That's where the problem is. Because what should happen is that the maintenance officer, once they are struggling to get hold or to get this person to pay, they need to refer this matter to criminal court. And then a docket is opened. So a criminal docket is opened against him. So that if he's found guilty of failure to adhere, because it's a contempt of court at the end of the day. If he is found to be guilty of his failure to pay maintenance, he can spend 12 months in prison. So the fact that this is not put to you as part of the advice as somebody who's not legally represented is a problem. So here's the situation. You can go back to court. I don't know if you have a return date or not, but even if you don't, now you have information. You go and approach the maintenance officer and say, we know he has a debt of 400,000. We know that you are saying that you're struggling to get hold of him. And I think is it section 20? I forgot the exact section wherein the matter can be referred to, if not section 35. But anyway, where the matter can be referred to the criminal court for his failure to pay his maintenance and being held in contempt of court. And they mustn't say to you, but he said he's going to. That's neither here nor there. He's already failed to pay the maintenance in the first place. And the 17,000 that he alleges will pay up until the debt is paid, if he even missed 1 month, is already a contempt of the second court order wherein he said he's going to pay 17,000. So you go to them, you tell them, let's refer it to the criminal court, and then they will find him, they will serve him with a subpoena or a warrant, a bench warrant, a J50, I think it's called. And then he's arrested, he needs to appear. I believe first appear. He has to go and appear in court as a first appearance.
Can I tell you, we've been through that process, now.
Yeah.
And the guys were saying, Jorge, and I think my thing was, a criminal record is not going to help me. I need finance to help raise this child, you know?
Yeah.
And with that, again, I mean, it was them having to serve him with the warrant, because it is Section 21.
Yes, Section 21.
I did follow that process. I do have letters pertaining to it, so I have like huge file about this. And for them, it was like, we can't, because we've got multiple properties, it's hard to locate him. And then there's a conversation of, what do we attach? So I'm just wondering from my side, because like, I've heard of cases or things online whereby the court was able to probably attach a person's pension or something like that. But I'm just wondering, as an ordinary citizen right now, what should my next steps be? Because the court has definitely failed me. I have Section 21. I've tried all this for like a good 2 to 3 years, and it's been in vain.
Can I just ask you, Mangaliso, when you say they say, who are you talking about?
The maintenance officers.
No, this is it. Okay. This is why I want you to be careful, because we do this. We do this. We get to these government entities, mm-hmm. and we rely on information by people who are not, number one, qualified to give you that advice. Some of them, bahu tipanje, you know, who OC shem, waitiking, shem, It's not legal advice. It's not legal advice. When I go back, and I, you know what I can hear from Mangalis? You are tired.
Yes.
I get that. And allow the process to unfold. Do not preempt what the outcome will be. Because I hear you saying, "Batla rekisa ing, batla mukrako kai." That's not for you to find him. Right, Ntabise?
You know what? Actually, because they are alleged, they can't find him.
Yes.
It's fine. There are tracers that you can pay. You pay upon they give you receipt. Kind of, which is the one?
But she's at the wrong court.
No,
you want her to go to the criminal court.
No. Maintenance court is supposed to refer it to her.
Yes.
So she has Section 21 in her hand. What they say is that they can't find him to serve him in order for him to get into criminal court. Mm. I get.
Mm-hmm.
So now when there's tracers, you pay 600 rand. If they're expensive now, because it's been a while since I've used those particular kind of tracers, between 600 and 800 bucks, they will find this person. Unani ID number ya hai, unani cell phone number ya hai. It's more than enough for them to find him. And then you come back with a trace report and say, this is where this person currently is. And then Gamuramonu, they can go serve him there so that he can be arrested and let this process actually unfold. Because relying on the state to actually do it, they don't have the kind of resources that private people, i.e. yourself or an attorney, can actually do for you. So you don't have to go to an attorney to get a tracer. Tracers are there, available and free for you to do so. Not free, but 600, 800 bucks.
So look up on,
for example. Yes, okay. When I'm going to do that.
Can I also ask Mangaliso, does it mean there are no visiting rights?
No, so he's never really been interested. So no. With him, I think it's always felt like, you know what, the child will look for me when she really wants me. So I've never denied him. He knows where we stay. He's got my contact. Actually, on the back of this conversation, right, because child got sick sometime and we even went to his family home, right? Just to try, obviously, try to push him from a family perspective. And I was like, you know what, honestly, I'm not even that attached to the money. I just need him to show up. It doesn't have to even backdate to the amount. Can we just move forward? And in the court, he was saying that my family's harassing his mom.
Sure.
Okay.
And
so
that's neither here nor there.
So you, and the reason I was asking is that you don't genuinely know where he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, right. Find a tracer. A tracer will find him ka ID number ya hai, and then you will bring that report to the maintenance officer and say, here is the address, go serve him. And then if baga wena you should do it, it's fine. You go with the police, you have him served so that he can be detained and arrested. My purpose, my reasoning for me saying he needs to be arrested doesn't necessarily mean that he needs to go behind bars and then you won't get your money. The fear of going to prison, one, or two, having a previous conviction always leads people to actually do the right thing. And then with that as well, once you find where they are, then they can attach whatever it is that is there. And then you can go to the sheriff. The sheriff will assist you, because I don't understand what they mean that they don't know what to attach. But let's get a tracer first. Let's start there, and then the rest should be able to be dealt with.
Okay. And would going to the high court be an option for me?
Yes, or, it's always an option. So what you can say is that you currently the matter is not pending. In other words, there's no next court date, right?
No, I don't have a date.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it means it's basically concluded. What you can do is take it referred to the high court and say that you are not getting any joy from the match court, and the high court as the upper guardian of all minors always has more powers always versus the match court. But like you did say earlier, unfortunately it doesn't come that cheap, but
yeah
you do have grounds to take it to the high court.
So I can go myself to the high court.
You can today. Yes, you can. Okay. Yes.
Thank you
Mangaliso, all the best, man. Let me go to Jabu in Kempton Park. Hello Jabu.
Good evening, ladies.
We're good. Thanks, man, for your patience.
I'm great. No, thank you, Mary. Mary, well, I'm intrigued by the story you shared.
Yes,
because, you know, unfortunately, we have so much struggle with our legal counsel, especially when it comes to the issue of following instructions. I think at times they will forget that they are animal of instruction, so to be referred to as such. However, I have a question for you.
Yes, indeed.
One, when you terminate the mandate and the council to recuse themselves from the matter and they refuse, what options do you have?
They cannot refuse. Like you just said, Rabaning, we are creatures of instructions at the end of the day. So they must, one, when you terminate mandate, you will give whatever reason if you wish to. If you don't wish to give a reason, you don't wish to give a reason. That is your prerogative. And then what they ought to do, or what they usually do, is that they will send you invoice or whatever amount that is outstanding. And then once we budget it, then they give you a copy of your file. They can't give you the originals because of FICA reasons. And then they give you a copy of your file. They keep the original. And then when you brief your new counsel, then they would be able, you would be able to proceed. There is no way that an attorney can refuse to be terminated. I mean, if I refuse for you to terminate me, how am I going to work when I don't have instructions from you in the first place? Do you know what I mean? Who's giving me authority to work on this matter? Then report that person to the LPC.
Okay.
Yes.
The second one is, I needed to ask in respect of the uniform rule, rule 4 in particular, when it comes to saving.
To what?
If your rule 4, when it comes to servitude.
Oh, yes.
If the someone says to be served by a chef, but then Penal Law Incorporated decide to send their driver, does that have an impact? Is it important or not? What becomes the do's and don'ts?
No, it's definitely important because, okay, let me say it this way. As a result of COVID, we have had the privilege of having matters in Gauteng, at least, to be dealt online,
yeah.
Right? So what the courts have seemed to accept of late is that I can send you an email and then attach onto case lines or court online to say that here's proof of service that I sent in Tabiseng this particular document, notice of motion, summons, whatever the case may be. Be that as it may, it doesn't do away with the rule of the court that it has to be dealt with by sheriff. The importance of a sheriff is that they should show that attempt number mang was, we attempted three times and we didn't find them, and eventually we served it on this person in their personal capacity or somebody that lived within the house. So you can't really prove if you send it via email or by a courier or via a driver that it was served on that individual, because you're not recognized in terms of Rule 4 as a person who has the authority to serve and commence this litigation. So you can always challenge it and say, in terms of procedure, this was not followed. And then the court will remove the matter from the roll and request service to be done properly.
Okay. Now a follow-up question.
Yes,
would be, if, however, the service was accepted and you can prove that Jabu did sign for the document, then the court will stand to accept those documents.
Yes.
On the basis that you accepted the document.
Yes, of late. And I'm only relying on the fact that, case lines and court online, because it's kind of changing the dynamic. Courts have leaned towards that kind of service. But if you want to dispute it and say it wasn't your signature or whatever the case may be, you can dispute it. But usually also, even if service cannot be proved, once you reply to the papers, the court tend to deem it as if you received it. But if it can be proved that that signature is yours and you received it, the court sometimes tend to accept that service was done.
No, that's correct. That's clear. Actually, there is a case I think it's 2022 case.
Yes.
It wasn't Bloemfontein that actually ordered that they will accept an email as a form of
reference. Yes.
But
yes.
I just need a purity on this. Oh. No, thank you very much, Lady.
Thank you. Thank you, Jabu. We continue to take your calls on 086-000-0959, and you can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. And Tabi Seng continues our conversation with us until 10. Let me go to Musima in Duduza. Musima, good evening and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
We well. Thanks for calling, Musima.
Thank you. I just need some advice and clarity in terms of the law.
Okay.
Irregardless of whether a person is a permanent employee or a contractor, is it legal for a company to force employees or contractors to advertise their brand for free, whereas it's not stipulated in the contract when the contract of agreement
of employment.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
For
by
example,
advertise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
For example, you see this motor ads, things that are on scooters and cars. Yes. The company is forcing drivers to advertise, put them on their scooters and cars.
Oh,
for free. They don't want to pay the drivers for that.
Oh, I see.
And if you dispute that or deny to do it, they tell you that we'll strike you off the roll of our system.
So you wouldn't be a service
won't
provider
be able
anymore.
To deliver. Yes.
Mm. Okay. And in the Utuking, it's not in the employment contract, but is it in the policy, samusebenzini, nothing like that?
No.
Okay.
It just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
I, for one, I disputed it and I said, no, my insurance won't allow that because I am not insured as a business, but as a personal insurance.
Yeah.
So, which means, should anything happen while I'm having that thing on my car, the insurance won't pay.
Okay.
And then the supervisor said to me, no, let me go and talk to someone. And then I'll come back to you.
Mm.
6 days later, she came back to the field and said, no. He said, I must tell you that it's either you take it or leave it.
Mm.
Knowing that this is my only
source of income.
Source of income.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I can do.
No, that's unfair
of
labor
which,
practice.
At the end of the day, should I be involved in an accident, I'm the one who's going to suffer the most because I still have to pay the bank.
Mm.
Yeah, but you must also take responsibility and declare to your insurance that you are doing business with your car. Because it's one of the two things. Either way, you must make a decision. You also are being deceitful.
Remember, I'm never even given a time. That's why I'm asking if it is legal. Is it a must that the company should just exploit people like that?
No. It's,
but I'm not sure if this is a legal thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying people know, companies know that you have to make tough decisions like these. And if you don't like their practice, their company practice, they say, as they said, take it or leave it. So what I'm saying is, I think, though, you are in the wrong with regards to your insurance yourself. You have to. Now that you know that the company expects you to, you have to declare that you are actually running a business with the car rather than for personal use. Because, let me put it this way, whether you have a sticker or not, ne, in the event that there is a problem, you may find that maybe there is an investigation that happens and the investigation leads to the fact that they discover you were running a business. Even in that scenario, they may penalize you. And you are going to be the person who unfortunately loses out on that matter because they're going to say, well, you didn't declare that you're running a business with your car. And it's unfair. Right. I know what you're saying, but just have yourself at least be secured in that way, either way.
I hear you. Mm. Thanks for that advice.
Okay, man. Thank you so much, Musima. Thank you so much for the... Hey, it's sad, man.
Yeah, no.
It's not a nice one. Okay, let's take a voice note.
Quick question. If a child is not In an unabridged certificate, the father is not there. Then how is the court being liable?
I think he wants to ask if he has any rights of sorts somehow.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Really, I'm laughing because, you know, the problem here is that there's a child, there are two people who want to fight amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And he's asking if he's not in the certificate, how is he liable?
Mm.
The question is not about the certificate. Are you the father?
Mm.
And why do you want the certificate to prove that you're the father if you know you're the father? Are you not the father?
It's really that
How simple. Are you liable? You are liable because you are the father. You need a certificate to tell you.
So maybe he wants to use a certificate to prove access or whatnot. It's not, certificate
daddy.
Is not going to do anything. But you can go to Home Affairs and put yourself on the certificate. Don't stress.
Let's deal with the facts. Are you not the father? How is the certificate now going to help you? Are you trying to disprove that you are the father, or you know that you are the father, but you are unhappy you are not in the certificate?
Probably.
And therefore, he's trying to say, why are you liable? That's what he's saying.
Mm.
You are liable because you are the father.
Yes.
What has a certificate got to do with you
with
being
anything.
Responsible?
Ah,
mm. Guys. Maybe you can send another voice note.
Just
and maybe let's just be clear, because I'm not sure you're being fair to the child who is not, number one, responsible for the certificate. Number two, why must the certificate tell you that you're the father if you know that you're the father? You're liable because you're the father. And the child needs the maintenance. I don't know. It's just... let's read a text. Okay. Good evening, Pimelo and Ntabi Singh. If I've applied for an RDP and later discovered that my house is being occupied by another individual, also proof from the database thereof indicates that the house was allocated to me. Okay. Thus, taking into account that RDP houses have yet to provide the title deeds, what legal recourse do I have and what steps do I pursue this matter with? Thank you. Very interesting question.
Yeah. So the fact that you don't have a title deed actually is not relevant.
Mm.
Because it's that house, that earth has been allocated to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's communicated to you. It means that Ntabi Singh, who's occupying that space,
is illegally
in there. So go make an application for eviction at the match court.
Okay, so I'm not sure if she says she's got proof. What steps does she take?
So the first thing, that proof, Leon, hopefully it's an email, SMS,
something.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go to the deeds office just to get a printout of that situation that it was allocated. It may not be a title deed, but there's an allocation.
Yes.
With that, you go to match court within that area. You make an application for eviction.
Okay.
Excuse me. And that eviction process, you are going to say, I am evicting the occupants, because most of the time you won't know the names of the people that are living there.
Mm-hmm.
So the notice of motion and the founding affidavits and all of that, it just says the occupants of earth number so and so and so and so.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the first step you do. Get your information from deeds office, the printout, go to match court, start the process for eviction.
Okay. Let's go back to the voice note that we played just before we read this thing.
Yes.
Because I think there are a few things we need to respond to calmly. The man wants to know why he's liable without a certificate. Let's just play it again.
Quick question. If a child is not in an unabridged certificate, the father is not there, then how is the court being liable?
Maybe we discuss her, you know. So,
what about the court is liable? But I think he wants to say
I think we understand that the issue is not language. I think we fully understand. So maybe if we turn it around from the perspective of the mother,
yeah,
who's asking for this maintenance, what do they need in court to support this woman?
All you need is to declare that so-and-so is the Mudibedi is the father.
So in other words, when I go and say Mudibedi is the father of my child,
yes,
they say child mang get a child X, mm, ne? They don't need the father to be in the birth certificate.
No, they really don't. Because even if the father is in the birth certificate, Mudibedi is written there fully. And then Mudibedi comes and says, I'm not the father. Mm. Then we still have paternity tests that can be done. And then it comes out, Velo Mudibedi is not the father, but he's on the birth certificate.
Okay,
you
so
know what I mean?
The answer is that with or without birth certificate, if you're the father, you're still liable.
100%.
Okay. Yes. We've got Teboho in Daveyton. Hello, Teboho.
Hello. How are you?
Good, Mendebuho. Good, how are you?
I'm okay. Now, sisters, on the topic of the child with the birth certificate.
Mm. Oh.
My problem. Yeah, I'm having. No, oh. I'm not that.
No, get your. No, I'm asking. Get your. No, for
no,
no, yes, no, I understand.
I'm not the one.
No, no, no.
But
I
with the certificate thing.
Yes,
I'm also concerned about the certificate thing.
So,
I'm having the very same similar problem with the guy.
Mm.
My kids are using their mother's name.
Mm.
It's fine. So, the little one, the young one, I want to open up a bank account for her, but I can't because of the bank descent.
Mm.
The mother should do that office now. The mother doesn't want to do that. I'm also battling with the child because she doesn't have an ID. So the mother doesn't want to take the ID for her. But then I can't do anything for the child. So it's a bit of a problem. I don't know what to do because of now they are using their mother's surname.
Home Affairs, it will put you on the birth certificate. They will do a reprint. So most of the time, I know so
you
many
need an
dads
affidavit
who've just gone there because there's a form that you fill in.
Yeah.
It doesn't really need mom to consent to anything. You just fill in that form. You go to Home Affairs, then they do a reprint of the birth certificate with your name attached there. The fact that they use mom's surname is neither here nor there. But if your name appears there, it makes things easier for you because it will allow you to do things on their behalf as well.
Okay, alright. Yes. Yeah, because of it's been battling. Yeah, I've been battling with this for a long time.
I think you need to take with you an affidavit as well, mm, when you go to Home Affairs.
And you said you paid, okay, Mahadi.
Yes, I did pay Lobola, and then a month after paid Lobola, and then she disappeared with better people. That's what she told me.
You do know you're married, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Then you take that lobola letter. Okay, let me not give you horrible advice.
No.
But Nikitonga, you must take that lobola letter. Where is a marriage certificate? And then you're the father by virtue of that. But anyway, use that lobola letter when you go to Home Affairs and say, Nale moturi nyalani by virtue of this, so I should be on the birth certificate. But I'll get more.
Okay.
All right.
Mm.
And then also going through the divorce with my...
I knew this was going to be problematic.
It is a problem. Because I knew it's going to put you into trouble. It's more than a decade. She's been gone and the family doesn't want to meet my family.
We went there.
Trying to negotiate with them, but they didn't want to negotiate with my family.
It's fine.
Ever since something that happened in 2010.
No, a divorcer. It doesn't matter how long ago it is. There are people literally that have been apart for 25 years.
Alone.
No, so what's going to happen is that you're going to approach a firm. Let's say you approach Asakir. And then what we're going to do, we're going to utarefa whatever information you have on her. We're able to trace and find her. And then we send her a letter to see if we can go and sit in a round table and have a settlement agreement wherein we agree, hore, sahau ki sahau that you've accumulated in the last 10 years and so is the same on my side. But if we can't find her, we just issue summons. And then if the summons return of non-service, in other words, they can't find her, then we make an application for what we call substituted service, wherein we can send it like a WhatsApp, like a Facebook, like a email, like a newspaper, name it, right? And then we allow the court the days to pass. And once the days have passed and she doesn't respond, then we make an application to the court to say, she hasn't responded. We've done what we should do. Can the court grant us a divorce in her absence? And then you get your decree of divorce and you move on. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, it settles that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think we've got a voice note.
To comment on the abridged or unabridged certificate of the dead, I had a similar experience, but it was not me per se, it was my cousin. So my cousin raised his son, A1, Alinos. So umama kona wahamba wayoshada somewhere else. So I don't think the issue is it's a indaba certificate or something like that. If you are a parent, just be responsible. Take responsibility of your child. Of izinto zenzayo. Just take responsibility. That's it. Ngiyabonga.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. There is no better way to end this thing. Amen.
Done.
We must give him bells. So, how do we find you?
So people can kindly send us.
No. You know what? He deserves all the glory. Amen.
None. It's okay.
Where do people find you?
Oh, people can send us an email at info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za, or they can send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523, or send us an email, call us on 087-265-8010. We are found at number 37 Harley Street in Randburg.
Thanks, folks. We are back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.